All right, thank you. Speaking about God's Word. Title of the teaching is Speaking God's Word. Subtitle, We Are Filled, So We Can Be Full, We Can Be Bold, We Can Be Ready. And the Gospel of John says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. In Timothy, it says that God desires all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. And in Peter, it says that by great and precious promises, we can be partakers of his divine nature, and that God desires none to perish. So we see just with a few of those verses that we see God's desire, but then there might be a gap, and then how does that get to people? How does that get to individuals? How does that happen? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it's actually Dennis had prayed mentioning this particular little bit of this subject here. Matthew 9:35, and it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Okay, Jesus was teaching and preaching, and then he saw the multitude that they fainted and were scattered. The word fainted is kind of what we know as today is, you know, become enfeebled, to be weakened, to lack strength. And scattered is to cast or to throw down, and it has an air or a suggestion of haste or lack of care. So basically these people were not being taken care of, and that's why he had compassion on them, and that's why they were fainting. They weren't being fed, basically, as you see. They weren't being taken care of. And he said, pray the Lord of harvest. This is God's harvest, his people. What is God, as we know in our administration, God's inheritance is what?
The people.
Okay, this is God's people. And we heard that in manifestations. God cares for us. He doesn't want anybody hurting. Okay, so we pray that he sends laborers, feeders, people to give his word, his will to those who are scattered and fainted. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Let's skip down to verse 6. And as he's telling his disciples whom he gave power to, he says, But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely get more.
No.
Freely give. Okay, he gave them, and that's what we know as spirit upon. He gave them power, and then he says, go do these things, to preach, to heal. And they have freely been given, so they have freely received, so they were to freely give. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and see what it's for us today in our current administration. The administration of the grace of God. Okay, Acts 1, verse 1. It says, The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I want to stop there for a second. By many, being seen 40 days and many infallible proofs. It's just amazing to me that Jesus Christ being raised, you know, wasn't done in a closet, in the back alley, in a back room somewhere. You know, it's not like the Loch Ness Monster or Sasquatch, you know, where they get a grainy picture, you know, and, well, it could be a tree or a pile of garbage, you know. It's like, what is that? No, and it says that he was seen above 500 people. And one of the last records in Acts, it says that it was the third time he appeared unto some of his apostles and disciples. So this was not done behind closed doors. This was wide open for everybody, and many people saw it. Just as a point of interest. Verse 4, and being assembled or assaulted together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, it wasn't the fact that they were with him that they would be witnesses. It wasn't the fact that they had seen some really, really amazing miraculous things and even took part in them. It was the fact that they were going to receive power. Then they were going to be witnesses. And as you read through Acts, it started in Judea, it went through Samaria, and then now uttermost parts of the earth. So it's all coming to fruition. Chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll see it actually on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to look at the part of being, okay, we are filled with Holy Spirit once we get born again, so we can be full and we can be bold. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, when they got Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. And I'm primarily going to kind of focus on speaking God's word, but this is a remarkable thing that God did by marking that out, by speaking in tongues. And as we know from 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, this is a way we can speak and be a witness for God. Because only by the miracle of Holy Spirit in us do we speak in tongues. Do we have tongues with interpretation and prophecy. As that's set forth in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, those were never done before, as it's put forth in those chapters of Corinthians. Okay, and it wasn't, people were like, huh, what is this? You know, and then we know, we're not going to read the rest of the record, but, you know, there were people who heard them tongues, and they weren't, wasn't drunken babblings from people, and they weren't having whiskey courage that they were speaking. It was the fact that they had gotten Holy Spirit, and they all heard them speak the wonderful works of God. So this, not to dismiss it or belittle it, is a big way, and this deserves a whole lot of attention in and of itself. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Some very familiar verses. Romans 10, verse 9. And it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Okay, that's how we know how to get born again. And actually, I was able to share this with someone. Actually, when I went on vacation to my sister and brother-in-law in Ohio, Wendy's niece and nephew-in-law? How does that go? I don't know. But anyway, there was something where they were, you know, they were talking, they weren't sure, you know, they, you know, what does it take to actually get born again? Is it works? You know, is it a life of works or what was it? And it was just, you know, sometimes you get those open doors that just kind of, you know, someone lobs you a softball, you know, right in your lap, and you go, okay, so we speak. We just speak out. And sometimes it's just a speaking forth, and as we'll see in a little bit, sometimes it's when we get filled, sometimes we get information from God, and then we speak forth what we're given. Okay, let's keep reading here in Romans 10, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Good question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay, all good questions. How are people going to believe? I mean, God has many ways that he can put forth, how he can put himself out there. I mean, there is, it's written in the stars, okay, Christ and that. But then not many, you know, it takes a lot to kind of work that and figure it out. Yeah, he's had a book written, but most people misinterpret it or won't crack it, you know, won't look at it. Okay, I don't know if God wants to have a burning bush talk and not be consumed, or have an animal say something. His prerogative, he works. He's certainly capable of doing those things. It's actually in the fabric of life. The closer you look at life in general, how could there has to be an intelligent design. But God had given us something very, very special, very unique, that we could share with other people. Okay? And let's, verse 15. And it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Okay, and that is written before, and that comes from the book of Isaiah. And it's in Isaiah 52, which starts that great section, Isaiah 52, 53, 54, 55, where it talks about the righteous servant who would, upon him would be taken all of the man's kind sin, and he would be acquainted with sickness and death, and our chastisement would be on him, and we would have his peace. So how beautiful are those, the feet of those people that bring that message to people. Okay, it's such a remarkable thing. Let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And right after Peter, you know, after they spoke in tongues and received the Spirit, if you read that record, he starts telling them about God's heart, God's desire, the prophecies that were written about that. And then he talks about Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He starts talking Romans 10:9 to get these people born again. And we'll see it. Chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests, see, they spake to the people, and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them to heal them. No, they laid hands on them and said, you're coming with me. Yeah. And they put them in hold in jail unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him does this man stand before you whole. Okay, in verse 8, it says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Did he get Holy Spirit again time? No. What he got, what that's a figure of speech, meaning that God gave him information. He was filled with information from God. And as you read through the book of Acts, people got vision. It says they were filled with Holy Spirit. They get vision, they get information. And at times when you, because we have Holy Spirit filled with that, we can be full of information at a particular time. He began to speak, but then he got information as he was speaking, and he started speaking it forth. So we can get that information of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Another incredible record. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to a few more verses I want to read in chapter 4. Sorry, go back 4, verse 18. A few other things I want to point out. 18, where am I? Okay, yes, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You figure it out. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Huh? We may not have seen Jesus Christ physically, but are there things that we have seen, things we have heard that we could speak about? I think so. And not that we teach our experiences or things as truth, but there are things and seen we have heard of this word that has done to us and for us, and we should speak those things. You know, sometimes in our daily lives, we have to talk about work and things of work and stuff. I'm not talking about like every word out of our mouth, you know, it has to be the gospel. We're not robots. But there are some idle conversation and some things. I mean, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it's in you, and it is, then we speak those things. Why not? You know, why not let people feel uncomfortable about, if they, not that they have to, but about their unbelief, about their not knowing. Okay, about a Lord and a Savior and about a God who we heard in manifestations and just how great and good he is. Okay, let them, you know, we shouldn't, you know, oh my, I don't want to upset them. It's like, maybe they need to get ruffled a little bit, you know. Maybe you need to rattle their cage, you know, let them. You'd be surprised. People, I mean, I've been making it a point as I've been looking at this lately to speak up. And it's a little uncomfortable for me, not rushing like a bull in a china shop. But, you know, why not? Just lay it out there. You'd be surprised. I am shocked the stuff. It doesn't take much to get people to talk about themselves. And then once you start getting beyond that superficial high, you know, how is it? Oh, same crap, different day. You know, oh, man, that's so annoying. Just get beyond that and, you know, get to people's hearts, share lives. And we're going to see how Paul did that in a little bit. Okay, so let them feel a little uncomfortable or not knowing or give them opportunity to believe. We have to give them something to believe. And it's the word of God that brings deliverance. You know, when people get born again, that Romans 10:9, it says in 1 Corinthians that God lights, you know, light comes out of a dark place. Light shines in their heart. And from a moment of time, they're translated from, you know, from being in the exercise power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Talk about deliverance. Talk about, you know, what a moment in time can do for someone. And you never know. They may take it, they may not. But if you don't offer it, you don't know. We're going to read. And also, in verse, is that 18? Where is that? Oh, no, we're going to read on. Verse 17 of the same chapter. Wait a minute. I'm not right. 29 of the same chapter. Acts 4, 29. And this is their prayer that those guys did after all that went on. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Do they get another dosage of Holy Spirit? No, they're getting more information from God. And they spake the word of God with all boldness. Okay, in verse 29, that word Lord, and now Lord, that word was only used, it's not the usual word for Lord. It was only used 10 times in the New Testament. And it's more of a business relationship, like, and then it says, may grant thy servants. So it's like the doulos and the master of the house kind of thing. It wasn't like, say, God, we're in this, you know, you're our boss. He is the Lord of the harvest. And give us your workers, your helpers. Give us, the boldness. And in verse 13, if you go flip back to 13 of this chapter, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they were definitely bold, and they were telling them in their faces. And these were the people that had a little bit to do with the killing of Jesus Christ. So they were getting in their faces. They were bold. But they were asking for more. And in verse 30, it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders. It actually should be while stretching forth their hands. Their boldness didn't depend on God. You know, they weren't Red Sea believers where they were believing when God had split the sea. You know, they were going to speak bold and said, God, while we're speaking bold, you heal people. And then we know a little bit later, you had mentioned that a couple weeks ago about the healings and the signs and the miracles. Shadow of Peter coming across people, healing people. Handkerchiefs, garments from Peter, healing people. I mean, you even see that, you know, in the Gospels. Jesus, you talk about, did God answer their prayer? Did he fill them with information? Did they speak boldly? They did, but they were doing it because they knew what was in them, and they were speaking it, and God was able to go to work. We just let God do the heavy lifting. We speak, and we just watch God work. You know, we can't make people born again, and when they do accept that, we don't change them. We don't put spirit in them. God does that. But let's just speak so they have something to believe that God has something to work with. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, verse 16. And this is not only speaking, as we see, we'll get into this. We'll see, it's more of a lifestyle. It's in us. You know, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's in us. So, and that is our lifestyle. We know we are Christians. We are born again when we are children of God. So that is our new lifestyle. We can speak about that. I mean, speak about sports is okay, the political climate and yada yada and all the nonsense going on. Let's speak about stuff that matters. And not that we don't speak about those other things, but let's make it a point maybe to speak about those things. And maybe it'll change some of the other stuff. Verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 9. This is the Apostle Paul. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation or oikonomia or an administration of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I'm in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 9. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. You know, this is not just speaking. This is a manner of life. He He shared his life, and sometimes we do that. Sometimes it takes time to, people have facades and walls built up, and sometimes it takes time, you know? But, I mean, there's some people I come across that I probably have worked, you know, for years, and you know, we just seem to never, and that's my fault, never get beyond that superficial, how do you do, what do you gotta, you know, get beyond, we gotta share hearts, you know, you gotta get involved with people. We start doing that, and I think those other manifestations and signs and wonders start coming to happen. You will look at the Book of Acts, you know, it's, you know, I don't want to speak in tongues or any of that other stuff. I want the heavy-duty other six manifestations, you know. But as we share a lot, and you get into people's lives, you see, you're going to need to cast out devils. You're going to need a whole lot of information from God to do stuff. And as we start sharing and getting involved with people, you know, you start, you'll see, oh, you're probably very painfully aware of that. You've been great with that. You've been a great example of that, you guys. You see, you're going to need the whole arsenal of Holy Spirit manifestations to, you know, to deal with these things. Okay, verse 21, we'll get back to that. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all, that I might by all means save, how many?
Some.
Some people are not going to take it, but he was trying. He endeavored to speak and live his life and give his life to be as to all those things to people that he might save some. And is it worth it to God to save some that are maybe interested, you know, who want to hear? We prayed, you know. You never know who. You just never know who has a need, who's looking and searching, and until you start speaking the word and, you know, giving your life and sharing, and you never know. Verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with, and that should be them. Okay, not you, but we're with them. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Nearing the end here, very close to the end. So we see it's just need to open our mouths. We have Holy Spirit. We can be bold. We can, when we can get information. Otherwise, sometimes you just speak up. Sometimes you're just in a situation, you just speak up. And then maybe during that situation, you get information. If not, speak up anyway. And let, you know, and let chips fall where they may. Let them. If someone wants to not associate with you anymore, or you know, that's on them, you know, you just let them deal with it. Let them, you know, let them deal with God's word. Just give it to them and let them deal with it, okay? And then they may ask for more and they may not. As we saw with Paul, you know, by all means, you might save some. Verse 5 of chapter 1. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is sped abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And not that they didn't speak anything, but they were, you know, for the example that these Thessalonian believers were speaking, they couldn't speak anything about it. It was like, you know, look at you go. You know, you guys are doing it. And they did. They were in much contention. They were being harangued and harassed just like Paul was. Now, if you recall in Acts, Paul's in Galatia area, you know, nearing, I guess, Asia Minor. And remember, he receives in a vision, a man of Macedonia, you know, waving, come, help us, you know. So he hightails it about 120 miles, goes up to Philippi, and what happens in Philippi? That's where he meets Lydia, and that's where he meets that woman, spirit of divination. You know, these are the men of the Most High, you know, showing to you the way of salvation. So, and he hangs out with her for a few days, and then he right? He kicks the spirit out, and then everybody gets upset because now their cash cow's dried up. So they bring him in, they beat him, right, unlawfully, and then that's when he kind of keeps his mouth quiet and then tells him a day later that he was a Roman and he was beaten unjustly. So did he become weak to maybe save the weak, maybe get to that jailer? I don't know. There's a book of the church in Philippi. Okay, and these, and then they sent people chasing him through Philippi, Thessalonica, and then he goes down to Berea, and then it got so bad that they were chasing him that they had to put him on a ship by himself, and they sailed him down to Athens, you know, to the Corinthian area. But they were not only chasing him, they were roughing up all the believers along the way. And even in the rough times that they were getting roughed up in, they were speaking the word. And I missed. And I recall your attention to Acts 8. Remember how Paul, Saul at the time, was making havoc of the church, mm-hmm. right? And they were scattered abroad. And it's not that same scattered that we read in Matthew. It was a deliberate distribution. Those people were given information by God, and they went around, and they went everywhere. And what did they speak? They went everywhere speaking the word. And then Philip went down there, and then it was great joy in those cities. They could have spoke about how horrible they were treated. So could these people here. Sometimes we are treated horribly, you know? But that shouldn't outweigh or out-trump, you know, what God has done for us in Christ. And maybe if we speak those things in those times, maybe it might change people's hearts. Maybe some people might get born again. Just maybe. We're going to go to verse 17 of this chapter. I'm sorry, we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we were shamefully before, and we were suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not out of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Okay, even in all that, they were speaking God's word. And in verse 4, there's this word that comes up twice here in this verse, chapter verse 4. It's the word dokimazo. And it's, you know, it's the one that's the trying of a metal or a substance to find out its integrity. And it also could mean the finding out of that, like the proving of it, that it is. Okay, it is gold. We tested it for gold, and yes, and now it is gold. Here in verse 4, it says, "But we were allowed of God." It says that they were proven of God. It's that word dokimazo. They were approved of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And then it says, "Even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which dokimazo our hearts," which tries our hearts. So as we stand before God approved, which is that same word, dokimazo, as workmen, we also stand before God who tries our hearts. You know, speak the word and we stand approved before God in that area too, not for anybody else, but before God. So thought that was interesting. And in verse 17 of this chapter, it says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." Let me ask you, do you recall how long Paul was here in Thessalonica before he got chased up?
2 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. So in that matter of time, they had shared hearts, and he had spoken the word so much that they became like their souls scrunched. You know, sometimes that happens with people. Sometimes you just click with people or whatever. Not that that has to is the standard, but even in that short time, and even with all that contention and all that stuff going on, he was able to, you know, their souls, they became so, you could see, like, I want to see your face. You know, it wasn't just, you know, I'm gonna, you know, you're one a notch in my belt that I got you born again. It was, you know, you become a beloved friend and brother. Okay, verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And it made me think, you know, not only do you get people born again, but you know what? It talks about crowns, rewards, and things that fade not away. And there is one for speaking the word. But you know what? We have eternal life. When we get born again, we have eternal life. Are we going to fade? Just a minute. So you get someone born again. It's a joy, a reward. And they're going to be there with all eternity with you. So how great is that? That could be an additional crown and joy and glory. Because that's eternal too. It's not just, you know, God gives us rewards at the banquet, we know, but individuals as well. And that's how Paul thought of it. That's what he considered. That he was that, you know, that was, he was their joy and crown. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, in closing, there's a verse in Romans chapter 1. It's that Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord, and that should be Christ, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear or reverence. Okay, so we should set apart Christ, God, and his word as special in our hearts, and we should be ready always to give an answer. So, there you have it.
Alrighty. Thank you.